You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, live here from the Right Side studio. Local, state, national, man, we are covering down on all the issues. And how do we do it? Like the dude just said, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Even have the t-shirts that say that. Hey, welcome to the show, you guys. It is 2:06 p.m. Today is August the 2nd. We got a full-on show for you. Got breaking news. We got some things that are happening around the state you're going to want to hear about. We got an interview with a former Navy SEAL who is running to be the sheriff of Jefferson County. And then we got content out the yang. I mean, content that's just going to, you know, just give you everything you need, like I say always, to be able to have those water cooler conversations about things that are happening in the world, you know, here at home and abroad. All that to say, it's a good day. There's a lot of things happening, despite the news. That being said, you know the deal. I always start off by giving you my opening comments, and my opening comments right now are fresh. They are right off the news cycle, and there's a lot of things happening in the news cycle. I can probably get to all of it in 3 hours, but here's the bottom line. You may have already heard. Ayman al-Zawahiri is dead. Good riddance, I say. I won't grieve for a second. Zawahiri has been long known as the mastermind of 9/11, so in essence, he is the author of the plan that killed thousands of Americans and sparked the global war on terror. And in that global war, thousands and thousands and thousands more died. We can't forget that. We should never forget that. I remember once I was with a group of other officers in training. We were asked to go around the room, add some personal commentary to a study of geopolitical and military issues in the post-9/11 world. One of the guys sitting next to me told how he had worked until about a month prior to 9/11 in one of the upper floors of one of the Twin Towers. He went through a job change. He had moved to another office across the Hudson in New Jersey, and on 9/11, he watched from a distance as the towers fell and scores of his friends and coworkers died while he watched out the window. I have another friend, one of my closest friends through high school and college. He was on a business trip to D.C. on 9/11. He was there for a military defense contracting meeting. They met at the Navy building adjacent to the Pentagon. They felt the plane go over the building low, even though they were in a windowless room, and then suddenly someone ran in, interrupted the meeting, and told them they had to evacuate and literally just to get away. He spent all morning running and moving with the crowds on foot until a very gracious stranger took he and several others into his home and let them stay the night. Another friend of mine from the office where I worked in the Pentagon told me of the day that he was upstairs when the plane hit. The hallways filled up with smoke and debris and chaos became the norm, and the flames and destruction wiped out one-fifth of the Pentagon structure. Somehow he found a phone that still worked, and he called down to his coworkers in the third-level basement where he and I later worked together. They were so deep underground, they hadn't even felt it happen, and it was likely his phone call that got them out. These stories go on and on. You can ask most folks where they were when they heard the planes hit the towers. I can remember it vividly. It was a beautiful morning, and I had the top off my Jeep. I was driving to pick up a guy that needed a ride to work. On the way, I had a local radio talk show on, and someone called in and told the host that something was going on in New York. You know, something about a plane had gotten off course and hit one of the Twin Towers. I was thinking it was like a Cessna with a student pilot or something. But then I got to the guy's house, and before I could even get out of my Jeep, he came to the door and yelled, "Hey, you got to come in and see this." And we stood there in his den and watched on live TV as a second plane hit the second tower. 90 days later, I had orders to go to Afghanistan. Soon after that, I was in the surreal position of leaving my family for a year to ride horses with other special operators in a remote corner of a country that I had known little about before that time. Make no mistake, 9/11 changed the world. Not just in the like lofty hand of God geopolitical way, not just in the movement of troops and the recalibration of our national force posture. 9/11 changed families. 9/11 changed individual lives. 9/11 was a moment in time that changed time for so many. Babies who are now in their 20s lost their parents that day. Businesses went out of business. The social landscape was altered. One man took credit for planning the event that set the world on its heels and sent troops to war, and that was Ayman al-Zawahiri. And we're told now that he's dead, and that's as it should be, that justice had to be served. I don't care what administration presided over the kill shot. I'd be more concerned if the shot had not been taken. I just wish it hadn't taken 20 years. So yesterday, President Biden spoke to the nation to affirm that intelligence had confirmed that Zawahiri was in Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan, and to further affirm that his intel sources had told him the CIA drone strike to take out Zawahiri was successful. I hope that's true. I hope the U.S. has some measure of forensic evidence that the architect of 9/11 is in fact gone. But here are some concerns that I have related to the president's address to the nation. You ready? First of all, why was it necessary for the president to emphatically state that none of Zawahiri's family had died in the drone strike? That there was no collateral damage? Why should America care deeply about whether or not the mastermind of the plan that robbed so many of their closest loved ones was surgically removed from the earth with no loss of life among his own loved ones? I'll be honest, I don't think anyone in the entire United States was leaning forward in their chairs yesterday, asking their TV screens, "But Mr. President, what about his family? Are they okay?" No, it never occurred to anyone, outside of the current occupancy of the White House, that that was a thing that had to be addressed. I would like to think they did not delay the mission and risk losing the opportunity to take him out because they were waiting for his wife to go to the store or his brother to leave for work. Don't sugarcoat this thing. You took out the bad guy. Hard stop. But here's something else. Why was the leader of Al-Qaeda hiding, and yet not hiding, openly in the same country where we just fought for 20 years to deny terrorists a safe haven? I mean, he was literally living with his family in Kabul, Afghanistan, of all places. I've been to Kabul. It's a big city. But come on. My takeaway is that we recklessly pulled out without an orderly withdrawal, left Afghanistan reeling from our exit, threw the Taliban back into power, and they called up Ayman al-Zawahiri and said, "Hey, come on home." So don't sugarcoat it, Mr. President. You took out the bad guy, but the bad guy was not where he was supposed to be. He was exactly where you told us he would not be. Hard stop. Then there's the strike itself, a CIA Predator drone firing Hellfire missiles. Now, Biden told us when he jerked us out of Afghanistan the way he did that we would be able to conduct over-the-horizon operations as needed. Technically, that's what happened here, but I will tell you this. There's no way in my mind that adequate target acquisition occurred in a crowded urban setting without some kind of boots-on-the-ground human intelligence. Someone had to confirm the target from the ground. Someone had to give real-time data to the trigger pullers. Someone had to conduct post-blast bomb damage assessment to confirm the target was eliminated. Don't sugarcoat this. This was a kill shot that involved putting people into harm's way at greater risk because they have no on-the-ground support now, no operational support to run to, and they are being looked for by the Taliban and Al-Qaeda right now, I guarantee you. You still have ground assets in play, Mr. President. And they are operating at much greater risk now than they would have if the Biden administration had not created the sucking vacuum of governmental collapse in Afghanistan. Hard stop. So yeah, Ayman al-Zawahiri is dead, they say. I'm fine with that. If the strike was truly confirmed, then justice has been served. But don't sugarcoat it, Mr. President. Don't mitigate the message with bleeding heart platitudes. Don't deny the mess that led to it. And don't claim that you saved the world. Don't sugarcoat it. Ayman al-Zawahiri is dead. Hard stop. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. They say he's dead. I hope that's true. I hope it is. But there is no way in the world that that should have happened in Kabul, Afghanistan. There's no way in the world that that happened without having human intelligence boots on the ground giving live intel to the folks in D.C. And oh, by the way, the very idea that they delayed this mission, and they did. One report says upwards of 2 months. While they fretted and worried and wrung their hands about whether his family was going to be too close to the target. He didn't worry about our families. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.
CLA Solutions.